Good morning and welcome to Claude Daily. I'm Alex. It is Thursday, April 30th, 2026, and we have a genuinely packed episode for you today.
Sam here. And when Alex says packed, I want to be clear. He's not doing the radio thing where everything is always the most important story ever. Today's actually a lot.
We've got a fundraising number that is going to stop you mid-sip of your coffee. We've got a production incident that has the developer community rattled. There's a quiet pricing change that I think deserves a lot more scrutiny than it's getting. And then there's a wave of connector announcements from Anthropic that, taken together, start to paint a very clear picture of where this company is going.
And the connector list, when you see the full list, it's one of those moments where you go, oh, okay, I think I understand the strategy now.
We'll get to all of it. Let's start with the biggest story. So, Anthropic is reportedly raising a new funding round, and the valuation attached to that round is $900
billion. $900 billion.
That's the number.
Can you just say that one more time, just so everyone's fully awake?
$900 billion.
Okay, yeah, I'm awake. That's, for context, that surpasses OpenAI's previous peak valuation. Like Anthropic, the company that launched in 2021, that spent its first couple of years being described in the press as the safety-focused AI startup, is now being priced by investors above where OpenAI was at its highest.
And I think the word safety-focused is doing a lot of unintentional work in that sentence. Because the narrative that's driving this valuation has very little to do with safety as a marketing angle. The pitch to investors is infrastructure. The argument is that Claude is not competing to be the best chatbot. Claude is competing to be the foundational compute and reasoning layer for the entire agentic AI era.
The AWS framing?
The AWS framing, yes. Amazon Web Services didn't become one of the most valuable businesses in the world because they had better servers than anyone else. They became essential because every developer, every startup, every enterprise eventually built on top of them. The infrastructure became the default, and the default became enormously valuable. The argument is that Claude can do that for AI agents.
And look, I've heard that framing a few times in the last year, but I want to push on it a little, because it's easy to say, we're the AWS of AI, and it's another thing to actually execute on it. What would it actually mean for Claude to be infrastructure in the way AWS is infrastructure?
So the way I think about it, and this is reflected in what Anthropic has been building, is that you want Claude to be the thing that's running inside every professional tool, every enterprise workflow, every automated pipeline. You're not selling Claude as a destination. You're selling Claude as an ingredient. You go to Adobe, you go to Autodesk, you go to financial software vendors, you say, here's how you embed Claude in your product. And then when millions of people are using Adobe's AI features or Autodesk's AI features, those are all running on Claude.
So the end user might not even know they're using Claude. They just know their creative software got a lot smarter.
That's exactly the model. And in that world, you're not competing with OpenAI for consumer mindshare. You're competing for enterprise platform relationships. And those are stickier, longer-term, higher-value contracts.
Which explains why, when you look at the connector announcements today, and we'll get to these in detail, the list is all professional platforms. It's all software that businesses and skilled workers use for serious production work. It's not consumer toys. Every single one is a bet on embedding Claude in high-value workflows.
The valuation and this product strategy are telling the same story. Investors can see the roadmap. They can see where it's going, even if the destination isn't fully built yet.
$900 billion is also just, it's a bet on the entire agentic AI thesis, isn't it? Like, if you believe autonomous AI agents are going to be the dominant mode of computing for the next decade, and you believe Claude is positioned to be the runtime that powers those agents, then the economics at $900 billion could actually look cheap in retrospect. Or, you know, it could be a spectacular bubble. One of those two.
One of those two things. And the honest answer is nobody knows which. But the investor conviction is clearly there.
Clearly.
Now, here's the thing about announcing yourself as the infrastructure for autonomous AI agents. You need the agents to actually work reliably in production. And there's been a story circulating in the developer community over the past couple of days that is, it's a cautionary tale, and it's one I think everyone in this space needs to sit with.
The database story, yeah, okay.
So a developer published a postmortem of what happened when they were running Claude Code, Anthropic's autonomous coding agent, in a production environment. They were trying to optimize costs. And in the space of nine seconds from start to finish, Claude Code deleted the company's entire database.
I keep hearing this story, and the 9 seconds gets me every time. It's such a specific number. It's so fast. Like, a human making that mistake would at least take a few minutes of confused clicking before they did something irreversible. 9 seconds is just gone.
And the speed is actually the key to understanding what happened. The developer was trying to reduce the cost of running Claude Code. And one of the ways you reduce cost is by reducing the number of API calls the agent makes. Every time an agent pauses to verify something, to ask, "Are you sure?" to check its own reasoning, that's a round trip, that's tokens, that's money. So in pursuit of cost efficiency, the developer had configured the agent to be more decisive. Less checking, more doing.
And it was very decisive.
Extremely decisive, in 9 seconds.
Right. So the confirmation gates, the little, "I'm about to do something potentially destructive, do you want me to proceed?" checks. Those were removed or bypassed in the name of efficiency. And then the agent was given the task, and it had broad enough permissions to execute that task, and it executed it completely and immediately.
And the terrifying thing is that it didn't malfunction. The agent did exactly what it was configured to do, in exactly the way it was capable of doing it. It just turned out that exactly what it was configured to do included deleting the database.
Which is almost the hardest version of this problem, because if the agent had gone rogue, if it had done something it wasn't supposed to do, you'd say, okay, alignment problem. We need better safety measures in the model. But this is the agent being reliable. This is the agent executing efficiently. The failure was upstream in how it was deployed.
And the developer's post-mortem was remarkably clear-eyed about that. They didn't blame Anthropic. They didn't say Claude is dangerous. They said we gave an autonomous agent production database credentials and told it not to double-check its work, and we shouldn't have done that.
Which is, look, that's honest. That's good engineering culture to own the mistake. But it doesn't make the outcome any less alarming for everyone else watching. Because I think a lot of teams are running AI agents with broader permissions than they realize, or with fewer guardrails than they think they have.
Right. And this story resonated so widely precisely because of that. The response in the developer community wasn't, "What a dumb mistake." It was much more, "I could see how this happens. I have to go check my setup right now."
That's the sign of a story that really lands, when it makes people nervous about their own situation.
And there's a principle here that's been in software engineering forever, the principle of least privilege. You only give a process access to exactly what it needs to accomplish its specific task. Nothing more. You don't give your AI coding agent read and write access to every database in production when its job is to update a configuration file.
But here's what I think is the uncomfortable part of this conversation, which is that the whole value proposition of autonomous agents is that they're autonomous. They handle complex, multi-step tasks without constant human supervision. And the moment you require human approval at every significant step, you've kind of undermined the core value. You're back to a very expensive autocomplete.
That tension is real. That is the genuine engineering challenge of this moment. How do you get the productivity gains of autonomy while preserving the ability to catch catastrophic mistakes before they happen?
And I don't think there's a clean answer yet. I think the answer right now is you stage it. You test in isolated environments that look like production, but aren't. You require confirmation specifically for destructive operations. Deletes, overwrites, anything irreversible. You keep read permissions broad and write permissions narrow. You maintain backups that are not accessible to the agent. These are all solvable problems, but they require deliberate architecture.
And they require prioritizing reliability over cost, which brings us to the other piece of this puzzle. Because right around the time this story broke, there were also reports that Anthropic has quietly, and I want to emphasize the quietly, revised their token cost estimates for Claude Code upward by roughly a factor of 2.
Wait, so the cost doubled?
The estimates doubled, yeah.
Okay, I want to make sure I understand this. Developers have been building their cost models, their budget projections for running Claude Code in production, based on Anthropic's published estimates. And those estimates have now been revised to approximately twice what they were.
That's the report, yes.
That's significant. That's not a rounding error. That changes whether a product is economically viable.
And there's a plausible technical explanation. The original estimates may have been based on simpler use cases, shorter context windows, less complex reasoning chains. As developers have pushed Claude Code harder into longer, more elaborate tasks, the actual token consumption has been higher than the baseline estimates suggested. So, in some sense, the estimates were always going to be revised as real-world usage data came in.
Sure, I can accept that explanation. What I have a harder time accepting is the quietly part. Because if you're an enterprise customer who has built a budget around published cost estimates, you need to know when those estimates change. You don't want to find out because your monthly bill came in twice what you expected.
Transparency is the issue, not necessarily the price change itself.
Right. And in an enterprise context, trust is everything. These are not consumers who can just shrug and switch to a different app. These are companies that have made architectural decisions, organizational decisions, potentially contractual commitments based on certain assumptions about what this technology costs to run.
And I'll say, pairing this with the database incident is uncomfortable from a communication standpoint. You have our agent deleted a database in 9 seconds, and also it cost twice as much as we said. Those two stories in the same week are not the news cycle you want when you're trying to close $900 billion fundraising conversations.
No, and look, I want to be fair here. Anthropic is building genuinely powerful stuff, and the rough edges are partly just the price of being at the frontier of something genuinely new. But rough edges have consequences in the enterprise. Enterprise buyers are risk-averse by definition. They want stability, predictability, and clear documentation of what things cost and what can go wrong. Both of these stories cut against that.
Which makes the connector announcements, which are very polished, very enterprise-friendly, very clearly about embedded controlled integration, interesting as a counterpoint. Like the answer to Claude code in your production environment can be scary might be, here's Claude embedded in tools you already know and trust, with guardrails the tool vendor has already thought through.
Oh, that's a really interesting reframe. So instead of giving enterprises raw Claude code and saying, go figure it out, you embed Claude in the software they're already using, where the software vendor has already handled the permissions, the workflows, the guardrails.
And the user is interacting with Claude through an interface they already understand, with constraints that are already built in.
That's a pretty elegant answer to the database problem, isn't it? You don't let Claude touch the database directly. You let Claude help people use Adobe or Intuit or Autodesk, and those platforms manage what Claude can and can't do.
That's the architecture. And let's get into the specifics of those announcements, because the breadth of what was announced today is genuinely impressive. Okay, so Anthropic has rolled out a significant wave of connectors, integrations that embed Claude into professional software platforms, and the list covers creative tools, enterprise content management, marketing technology, and financial software. Let's take these one at a time.
Let's do it.
The biggest one, at least in terms of brand recognition and scope, is Adobe. And I want to be specific here because Adobe actually launched multiple connectors simultaneously, not just one. The first is the Creative Suite integration. Photoshop, Lightroom, Illustrator, Firefly, and the rest of Adobe's flagship creative applications. The integration means you can handle image editing, asset creation, design work, and animation tasks through natural language commands inside Claude without leaving the conversation to open a separate app.
Okay, so paint me a picture. Literally, I'm a graphic designer. I'm working on a project. What does this actually look like day to day?
So you've got Claude open. You're working through a project. You're briefed on a campaign. You've got some assets. You're thinking through the visual direction. And instead of saying, okay, now let me open Photoshop and find the right image and do this manually, you just say it. Adjust the color temperature on this product photo to be warmer, increase the contrast, and export it at web resolution. And Claude handles the Photoshop side of that.
Without you touching the Photoshop interface at all.
Without you touching the Photoshop interface at all. Now, the nuances of what's possible within those commands, that's something we'll learn more about as people use it. But the principle is natural language becomes the interface to the creative tools.
And for someone like me who uses Photoshop maybe 4 times a year and spends 20 minutes each time just remembering where things are, that is genuinely life-changing. But I'm also thinking about the professional designers who live in Photoshop, who know every keyboard shortcut, who are faster with the tool than they ever could be with language. Is this for them, or is it for the people who struggle with the tool?
I think it's actually both, and for different reasons. For the power user, the value is probably in handling the routine, repetitive stuff. Batch operations, formatting consistency, the kind of work that's technically not hard, but is tedious and time-consuming. For the person who doesn't have deep expertise, it lowers the barrier to getting professional quality output.
Right? The power user gets to spend more time on the interesting creative decisions and less time on the mechanical execution.
Exactly. And that's actually a pretty good value proposition for both audiences.
Okay, what's the second Adobe connector?
Adobe Experience Manager, which is Adobe's enterprise content management system. The companies that use this are major corporations managing complex websites, digital asset libraries, multilingual content, all of that. The integration means you can manage pages, update content, schedule launches, locate assets, and manage content fragments all through plain language in Claude, rather than navigating the AEM interface.
An AEM, for anyone who hasn't had to use it, it is a very powerful system. It is also a very dense interface, the kind of system where you go through extensive training just to understand where things are.
Yeah. Enterprise content management platforms are not known for their usability.
To put it extremely mildly, so being able to just say, schedule this landing page to go live at 9 a.m. on May 15th and have it happen, that cuts through a lot.
And at the enterprise scale where these systems operate, even small efficiency gains per user add up to enormous time savings across an organization.
Totally. What's the third?
Adobe Journey Optimizer and the broader marketing stack. So Journey Optimizer is Adobe's tool for designing and orchestrating customer journeys. Email campaigns, personalized offers, cross-channel marketing flows. The connector lets marketing teams use Claude to inspect campaigns, query the status of offers, identify problematic drafts, troubleshoot channel configurations, all in natural language.
So instead of building a report or running a query, a marketer can just ask, which of our email campaigns is underperforming this week and why, and get an actual answer.
That's the direction. And it also ties into real-time customer data platform and customer journey analytics. So you're pulling from live customer data, not just static campaign configurations.
That's, for a marketing team, that's genuinely powerful. The number of times I've heard marketers say, I have all this data and I can't get answers fast enough. This is the product for that problem.
Adobe went extremely deep on this. Three separate connectors across the creative, enterprise content, and marketing sides of their business. It suggests a very serious strategic partnership, not just a demo integration.
Right. This isn't a proof of concept. This is Adobe committing to Claude as a core part of their platform story.
Okay. Now let's get to the ones that I think are going to surprise people the most. Blender.
Hold on. Blender? Like Blender 3D, the open source modeling software?
Blender, the free and open source three-dimensional creation suite. Used by animators, game developers, visual effects artists, product designers, architects. One of the most powerful creative tools in the world, and also one of the steepest learning curves in the world.
I bounced off Blender twice. Like, I genuinely tried to learn it, and it's a lot.
It is famously a lot. So what does the Claude connector do for Blender? It means you can interact with Blender's environment through natural language. You can describe what you want to create, what modifications you want to make, how you want the geometry to be structured, and Claude translates that into actions within Blender.
Okay, so, and I want to be careful about overpromising here because I don't know the full extent of what's possible, but theoretically I could say, create a low poly character mesh with this general body proportion with UV map surfaces ready for texturing, and Claude would set that up?
That's the direction it's pointing. The exact capabilities we'll have to see in practice. But even partial functionality here is a huge deal for accessibility. Because Blender is full of people who have great creative vision but hit walls on the technical execution side. If Claude can bridge some of those gaps.
You've just opened up three-dimensional creation to an enormous number of people who currently can't access it. That's not a small thing. Film, games, product design, architectural visualization, these are entire industries built on skills that currently require years of training to develop.
And the philosophy here is consistent across all these connectors. You're not replacing the tool. You're not saying Blender is obsolete. You're making Blender accessible to more people and making experienced Blender users more efficient.
Okay, and Autodesk Fusion, that's in the same announcement?
Autodesk Fusion is also in the wave of announcements, yes. And for those who don't know it, Autodesk Fusion is a professional computer-aided design and engineering platform. Mechanical engineers, industrial designers, manufacturing teams, people who design physical products, consumer electronics, aerospace components, medical devices, industrial equipment.
So we went from Claude writes your emails to Claude helps engineer the next iPhone. That's a meaningful expansion of scope.
And in the context of that infrastructure thesis, you've got Claude embedded in the tools that design physical products. The reach of that integration, if it works, is immense. Because the products designed in Autodesk Fusion end up in the physical world.
That's wild to think about. Like 10 years from now, some percentage of consumer products that exist in the world will have had Claude involved in their design process. That's a form of presence that's very different from, I use the chatbot to help me write a memo.
All right, and then the one that I think is going to generate the most community excitement. Ableton.
Oh, yeah, okay. Ableton. For people who don't know, Ableton Live is one of the dominant digital audio workstations. This is the software that a huge proportion of electronic music producers, DJs, film composers, and sound designers use for their work. It is a deeply loved piece of software in an extremely passionate community.
And now Claude is integrated into it.
So what does that look like? What can you do?
So the integration opens up music production and audio design through natural language. You can, in the direction this is pointing, describe the sonic character you want. Ask Claude to build chord progressions, adjust mixing parameters, manipulate the structure of a session, add or modify effects chains, all through conversation.
I'm sitting here trying to imagine describing music to Claude and having it happen. Like, give me a four on the floor kick pattern with a syncopated hi-hat and a sub bass that side chains to the kick, and it just builds that?
That's the vision.
I mean, for musicians who have technical vision but don't have the production chops, people who know exactly what they want to hear but struggle with the software side, this is transformative. Like, the number of musicians I know who can describe perfect music but can't quite get it out of the software.
That's a real divide. Musical knowledge and DAW expertise are separate skills that don't always coexist in the same person.
And for producers who already know Ableton inside out, similar to what we said about Photoshop, you're automating the routine parts. Setting up a new session, applying a standard effects chain, making the same kind of arrangement adjustment you've made hundreds of times before. Claude handles that. You focus on the creative decisions.
The music production community is going to have a field day with this. Ableton has such an active, vocal community of people who push software to its limits. The amount of experimentation and feedback that's going to come out of this integration is going to be enormous.
Totally. And Ableton attracts exactly the kind of technically sophisticated creative user who will find interesting edge cases, will explore what's possible, will push the integration in ways Anthropic probably hasn't anticipated.
That feedback loop is genuinely valuable. And then rounding out today's connector announcements, Intuit Financial Intelligence.
Taking us from music production straight to spreadsheets, big pivot.
Big pivot, but an important one. Intuit is the company behind QuickBooks and TurboTax. It's the financial software backbone for millions of small and medium businesses. And the financial intelligence integration is aimed at making business financial data accessible through natural language queries.
So a small business owner, and this is the one that I think has the most immediate practical impact for the most number of people, a small business owner who runs QuickBooks but doesn't have a CFO, doesn't have a financial analyst, can now just ask Claude, why were my profit margins lower in the first quarter compared to last year? And get an actual substantive answer.
That's the pitch. And there's something real there, because financial analysis is exactly the kind of task where the bottleneck is often not the data. The data is in the system. The bottleneck is the ability to ask the right questions and interpret the answers. If you can lower that barrier,
you've just given every small business owner access to a basic financial analyst, which is, that matters. That's not a trivial thing. Small businesses fail for financial reasons all the time, partly because the owners are great at their actual work and less confident with the numbers.
And when you step back and look at this full list, Adobe's Creative Suite, Adobe's Enterprise Content System, Adobe's Marketing Platform, Blender, Autodesk Fusion, Ableton, Intuit, what pattern do you see?
These are all professional-grade, domain-specific tools that have high expertise requirements and that are central to serious workflows. Not a single one of these is a consumer toy. Every one of them represents a community of skilled professionals who use this software for real work. And in every case, the integration makes the tool more accessible without replacing what makes the tool powerful.
And from a business model standpoint, these are also all categories where the economic value of what's being created is high. Adobe's customers are designers, marketers, enterprise content teams. The output of their work has real dollar value attached to it. Autodesk's customers are engineers designing products. Intuit's customers are businesses that need their financials right. When Claude makes those people more effective, there's a clear economic case for paying for the integration.
Versus, you know, making your grocery list faster. The value is obviously there.
Right. This is very deliberately not a consumer play. It's a professional productivity play at scale. And the accumulation of these integrations, if all of them work well, if they get deep adoption, starts to look like that infrastructure layer we were talking about at the top of the show.
One thing I want to flag, because I think it's the honest counterpoint to all of this excitement. We have not yet seen production data on how well these integrations work in the real world at professional quality standards. Claude Can Talk to Photoshop is very different from professional designers are using this to do real client work reliably. The demos are impressive. The concept is sound. The proof of production quality is still coming.
Fair. And that's going to be the story of the next 6 to 12 months. We'll start to hear from designers, from engineers, from musicians about what actually works and what hits limits. That's the feedback loop that will shape what these integrations become.
Yeah. The first generation of any tool like this is always partially capable. The question is whether the trajectory is steep enough to matter.
And given the level of investment, $900 billion worth of investor conviction, there is no shortage of resources to improve the trajectory.
Ha, yeah, that's one way to put it.
So that actually connects to something else that dropped today, which is documentation from Anthropic about how their enterprise AI workspace platform, Claude Cowork, handles customization. And I think this is actually the meta architecture that ties all of these connector announcements together. So Anthropic published details on Claude Cowork's customization system, and it's organized around three distinct levels. And I want to walk through each level because I think understanding how they fit together changes how you see the whole product strategy.
Okay, give me the architecture.
Level one is connectors. These are the integrations we've been talking about. The connections to Adobe, Blender, Autodesk, Ableton, Intuit, and so on. This is the foundational layer. You're linking Claude to the external systems that your organization uses. You're giving Claude access to the tools and data it needs to do useful work.
Right. The pipes. You've got to lay the pipes before anything else works.
Level two is instructions. This is where you establish standing rules and context for how Claude should operate within your organization. Instead of every single person on your team adding the same context to every prompt, we're a company that sells to enterprise clients in regulated industries, so always be careful about compliance language. You encode that once at the workspace level, and it applies automatically.
Oh, that's huge. That's genuinely huge for teams. Because right now, and I've talked to a lot of teams using AI tools in production. One of the biggest friction points is exactly this: every team member reinventing the prompt. Every person adding the same 5 sentences of context to every query. Building a shared, persistent context layer at the workspace level saves an enormous amount of repeated effort.
And it makes the outputs more consistent. If everyone on your team is working from the same standing instructions, the variance in output quality goes way down. You start to get reliable, predictable results rather than "it depends on how well you prompted today."
Consistency is massively undervalued in enterprise contexts. People talk about peak capability. Enterprises care about floor quality. They care about what's the worst thing that's going to come out of this system on a bad day. And standing instructions help set that floor higher.
And then level 3 is plugins. This is where it gets really powerful, I think. A plugin is a bundled package of connectors and what Anthropic calls skills, which are repeatable workflows that Claude can execute on demand.
Wait, walk me through skills specifically, because I want to make sure I understand this correctly.
So a skill is an encoded workflow. You're essentially teaching Claude a specific process. Here are the steps. Here are the sources to consult. Here's how to structure the output. And once you've built that skill, Claude can execute it reliably whenever asked. You bundle that skill together with whatever connectors it needs into a plugin, and then you distribute that plugin to everyone on your team.
Okay, so give me a concrete example.
Say you're a marketing team and you regularly need competitive analysis reports. Right now, every analyst who does that work has their own approach, their own sources, their own format. You could build a skill that says, "Here's the competitive analysis process we use. Check these specific sources. Structure the output in this format. Look for these specific signals." And then anyone on the team can trigger that skill and get a consistent, high-quality competitive analysis.
And I want to name what's happening there because it's significant. You're not just making work faster. You're codifying institutional knowledge. You're taking the expertise of your best analyst, the process they've developed over years, and making it available to everyone on the team through a plugin.
That's exactly right. And that's a fundamentally different value proposition than Smart Search Bar. That's knowledge management. That's organizational capability building.
And it compounds, right? Because once you've built one plugin that works well, you build another and another. And over time, you've got a library of encoded organizational intelligence that lives in Claude Cowork. New team members can access the full institutional knowledge of the organization from day one through these plugins.
The onboarding implications alone are significant. Right now, onboarding is largely about knowledge transfer, teaching someone the processes, the context, the way the organization does things. If that institutional knowledge is encoded in plugins, a lot of that transfer happens automatically.
Okay, I am very enthusiastic about this architecture. I want to add some honest pushback, though, because I think it deserves it. Who builds these plugins?
That is the question.
Because the 3-tier architecture is clean on paper. In reality, someone has to sit down and think through what is the competitive analysis process, step by step, in enough detail that Claude can execute it reliably. That's not trivial. That's a significant design and documentation task. And in most organizations, someone is either IT, which is overloaded with other priorities, or a power user who ends up maintaining it as an unofficial side job.
That's a real implementation challenge. And I think Anthropic is betting that as the tooling matures, building plugins will get more accessible, that there'll be templates, best practices, maybe a marketplace of shared plugins that you can adapt. But right now, in April 2026, this is still somewhat early adopter territory.
Yeah, I don't want to undersell what I think is a genuinely good architecture. I just think organizations need to be honest about the upfront investment required to make it work well. The teams that invest in building good connectors, good instructions, good plugins are going to have a compounding advantage over teams that don't. But the investment is real.
And there's a skills gap to be honest about, too. Building effective plugins requires understanding both what the organization needs and how to communicate that to an AI system effectively. That's a new skill set that most organizations don't have in depth yet.
True. There's going to be an emerging role, maybe it already exists in some places, of AI workflow architect, someone whose job is to design and maintain these systems. And whoever learns to do that well is going to be extremely valuable.
It's the new systems administrator in a way. Every organization that took computing seriously eventually needed someone who understood how the systems fit together. Organizations that take AI seriously are going to need that same kind of person, but for AI workflows.
And the connector announcements we talked about earlier, Adobe, Blender, Ableton, all of them, those become inputs to the plugin system. You're not just connecting to Adobe, you're building plugins that combine Adobe capabilities with your organizational knowledge and your standing instructions into something that's uniquely tuned to your team's needs.
That's the vision. And when it comes together well, you're not using Claude. You're using your organization's version of Claude, custom fitted to how you work.
Which is, that is genuinely compelling. If they can get there, that's a very defensible position. Because it's not just the underlying model that would be valuable. It's all the organizational investment in customization. You can't just swap that to a competitor.
Lock in through value creation rather than through lock-in mechanisms, which is historically the best kind of lock-in.
The AWS way.
The AWS way. All right, let's take stock of everything we've covered today because it's a lot, and I think it hangs together in a way that's worth stating clearly. So here's what today looked like. Anthropic is reportedly raising new capital at a valuation of $900 billion, above OpenAI's previous peak, with the central investor thesis being that Claude becomes the infrastructure layer, the runtime, the embedded intelligence for the agentic AI era. Not a product, infrastructure.
The AWS of AI. Say it with me.
The AWS of AI. And this product announcements today support that thesis directly. A wave of connector integrations. Adobe's full creative suite, Adobe Experience Manager, Adobe Journey Optimizer, Blender, Autodesk Fusion, Ableton, Intuit Financial Intelligence, positions Claude as something embedded in the tools professionals already use, rather than a standalone destination you go to.
And the Cowork customization architecture, three tiers, connectors, plus instructions, plus plugins, gives enterprise teams the ability to turn Claude from a general purpose assistant into something that actually reflects how their specific organization works. Institutional knowledge, encoded and available to everyone.
And then the harder stories. A production incident where Claude Code deleted a company's entire database in 9 seconds due to a combination of broad permissions and cost optimization configurations that removed confirmation guardrails. And a reported doubling of token cost estimates for Claude Code that, even if technically justified, raises questions about pricing transparency for enterprise customers.
And I want to stay with those two things for a moment, because I think the temptation is to treat the connector announcements and the valuation as the main story and treat the Claude Code incidents as footnotes. I don't think that's right. The agentic AI thesis only works if the agents are reliable and predictable in production. These stories are data points about where the technology is right now, and they matter.
They matter, and they're not necessarily disqualifying. These are early-stage deployment lessons, and every technology has them. But the organizations that succeed with AI agents are going to be the ones that take these lessons seriously and build their deployment architecture accordingly, not the ones that move fast and ignore the warning signs.
Yeah. The database story, and I keep coming back to this, the database story is actually a gift if you're willing to learn from it, because the organization it happened to lost their data and learned a hard lesson. Every other organization gets to learn that lesson for free.
Principle of least privilege. Confirmation gates for destructive operations. Test in staging, not production. Maintain backups that the agent cannot access. These aren't exotic precautions. They're standard software engineering discipline applied to a new context.
Put it on a poster in your engineering team's area, like genuinely. Make it a checklist before any agent gets production credentials.
And on the cost side, if you're deploying Claude Code in production pipelines, now is a good time to review what your actual token consumption looks like versus your original estimates, and make sure your budget assumptions are still valid.
Boring advice, but important advice.
The best engineering advice usually is, okay, big picture, Sam. $900 billion valuation, enterprise infrastructure strategy, broad connector announcements, some real bumps in the road for autonomous agents. Where do you land on all of it?
Honestly, I think Anthropic is executing a coherent and ambitious strategy. The valuation is extraordinary, and it could look like a bubble in 5 years, but it could also look cheap. The thing that gives me the most confidence is exactly the connector wave, because that's not PowerPoint strategy. Those are real partnerships with real enterprise software vendors who are making real bets on Claude. Adobe didn't do 4 separate integrations because they had some extra engineering capacity. They did it because they believe Claude is going to be central to how their customers work. That's a meaningful signal.
And the Cowork architecture gives enterprises a real framework for building durable value on top of that foundation. The rough edges on Claude Code are real, but they're addressable.
The frontier is messy. That's the deal you make when you're working with early-stage transformative technology. The organizations that figure out how to navigate the mess are going to be very well positioned when it smooths out.
Which it will. These things always do. All right, that is everything for today's Claude Daily. We covered the $900 billion funding story, the Claude Code database deletion incident, the revised cost estimates, the full wave of connector announcements, and Anthropic's Cowork customization architecture.
Big episode. Genuinely big episode. If someone you know is thinking about deploying AI agents in their organization, developer, product manager, executive, send them this episode. Today's stories are exactly the stuff you need to hear.
Thank you for listening. If you want to go deeper on any of these stories, the best places to look are Anthropic's engineering blog, the official Claude documentation, and the conversations happening on Hacker News and Reddit right now around the Claude Code incident. The community is really working through the implications in interesting ways.
Yeah, the Hacker News thread on the database story specifically is worth reading, People are sharing their own experience setting up agent permissions, and it's genuinely instructive.
We'll be back tomorrow morning with more. I'm Alex.
I'm Sam. Stay curious, stay careful with your production credentials, and have a great Thursday.
April 30th, 2026. Take it easy, everyone.